Why is there always huge puddles on the ground under public male urinals? LOL, people act like it's a contested three instead of an open layup.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst over at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. We have got games from Thursday to break down. We're going to look at all the action there across those five games and then preview a big, big 11 game Friday in the NBA. So
let's get to it.
All right, that's a very good idea. We'll get stuck straight into this, and we'll do that with the monstrous line of the night. And today, it goes to Karl Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves. 30 points for Townsie, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 threes, a steal, 5 blocks, 11 of 16 from the field, and 6 of 9 from the free throw line. Obviously, that's a real monster performance from Towns. Now, he is outside the top 10 so far this season, and I've opined about the lack of touches that he has gotten this year, down from 18 field goal attempts per game last year, down to 14.4. And obviously, the addition of Jimmy Butler is a reason to do that. It's also been just the actual ball hoggery of Andrew Wiggins, the ill fit of Jeff Teague in that offense, and Towns needs to see the ball more often than that. Now, his defense has been pretty disturbingly poor most of the time, but it's a lot of it's been offensive just misuse or not being used, really, that's caused his numbers to decline from a guy who was, you know, a realistic guy to consider at pick number one. He wasn't the guy that I was looking at pick number one, but a top five sort of a player. And there is a chance, I guess, that he can get back to that, but it's going to require a change in the offensive philosophy from Tom Thibodeau and to get Towns more involved. And I'm not so certain that that is going to happen. This was obviously huge. The blocks are massive, but he has not been a big blocks guy this year, just averaging 1.4, and he was at 1.3 last season. So these sort of performances are not the thing that's happening all that often for Karl Towns. And given the Minnesota Timberwolves' poor head-to-head playoff schedule in most formats, I reckon if you can get any other first round talent back for him, it's probably a decent idea. Boog Cousins, Tone Davis, you want any one of those other bigs. Nikola Jokic is another guy that you could consider. You could probably get Jokic and someone for Towns, and that would be a move that I definitely would consider, just given the way that the offensive load hasn't quite been there for Towns. Plus, he might be at a 2-3 game disadvantage throughout the fantasy playoffs, which can be quite an important thing, and it's something to pay some attention to, especially when you're getting back quite similar per game value, which you might get with one of those other top guys like Davis or Boog Cousins. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Jose Calderon of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Calderon was actually really good. 17-3-6, maybe because it was a revenge game. 5 triples for him, 2 steals, and 6 of 9 from the field. He's a better fit in this starting lineup than Derrick Rose. I think that there is a legitimate chance that we do not see Derrick Rose play for the Cleveland Cavaliers ever again. He's now revealed that he's got a bone spur in his ankle. So not just a sprained ankle. We heard the talk about him leaving the team to, discuss his future or reassess his future. He's back with the team now, but he doesn't look like he's anywhere close to coming on the court. And if Ty Lue's serious, he just won't play him because he's not a good option. Isaiah Thomas is not too far away. You could run Thomas, you can run Wade, you can run LeBron, and you can run Dwayne Wade. And all of those guys are better options at this point than Derrick Rose. So I'm not saying that we have to go and add Jose Calderon, but over the last 2 weeks, he's a top 150 player, barely, but he is there. And if you're in a deeper sort of format, 16, 18 team leagues, Calderon can have some short-term value, get you some assists, hit some threes. He's hitting 2 threes a game and doing it really efficiently, which I believe will come down. 54% shooting from 3 over those 2 weeks and 51% for the season. Those numbers won't be able to maintain. But he's in a nice spot. He's getting set up by LeBron, obviously, to hit these shots, and it's working out pretty well for him. And he can be an interesting three-point streamer, an assist streamer, and a steals guy whose value will dip a little bit when Isaiah Thomas returns. But for now, he is the waiver wire line of the night. The young gun of the night goes to Brandon Ingram of the Los Angeles Lakers. Ingram had 26, 6, and 6. He hit 3 threes. He had a steal, and he was a very efficient 10 of 15 from the field and also 3 of 4 from the line. He has improved his efficiency this season. He had a true shooting of 47% last year. He's up to 52 this year, which is still below average, but it's trending in the right direction. He's got his threes up to 35%. He's shooting 45% from the field. The one thing that's not really seeing, well, it has improved, his free throw shooting up from 62 to 67, but it's still at an unacceptably low level. But over the last month, he's taken that to 71%, and it's constantly getting better, which is what we want to see from these young players, a continual improvement. He's a guy that could be a triple one player. He's not there yet. He's at 0.6, 0.9, 0.7, but he does have that ability to block some shots and to get some steals. He's currently the 124th ranked player. I don't think he ever becomes a top 20 fantasy guy, or maybe, I don't even know if he ever becomes a top 50 guy, but I think he can have multiple seasons as top 100 player, and that has some value. And he has definitely recouped a lot of the value after a disappointing start to his career last year. Still not all the way there, and there's going to be inconsistencies within games and between games, but definitely looking much better than what we saw before. You know, we're having good games most times rather than good games occasionally, which is a big step up from Brandon Ingram. The dud of the night. I tell a man's not hot. It is his teammate, Brook Lopez, who was an absolute turd burger. 8-1-2 for Lopez with a block. He airballed both his free throw attempts, which was just bizarre to see. 4 of 10 from the field. He's the 105th ranked player so far this season. He's 176th over the last month. If you're in a 10-team league, I don't think you need to hold Brook Lopez. I don't see his minutes jumping up anytime soon to go into the upper 20s. They've got Julius Randle, who plays those backup center minutes. Larry Nance is there. Kyle Kuzma's there. And the guy that's playing the fewest minutes out of that group is Lopez. And I don't really see too much changing there. You could consider him as a 12-team guy to own, mainly just based on his blocks. That's really the only value he's providing. And if you don't need the blocks, either you're punting it or you're really strong in that area, move on. Get rid of him. I wouldn't be really banking on a huge step forward for Brook that's going to require more minutes, and I just don't think it's coming. He's also not hitting his threes at a high rate, 35% last year, down to 30 this season, and that's really impacting him. His free throws have dropped. His field goal percentage has dropped. I don't think that in 10s you want to hold, and I don't even think in 12s he's considered a must-own guy at this point, which is disappointing considering where we would have drafted him, expecting him as the best player on the Lakers, which is what we thought heading into the season, that he would be able to put up some nice numbers, but he hasn't been utilized that way, and his play has definitely fallen off. Let's now get into these games and talk about them, break down the 5 games from Thursday, and then later on we'll transition to talk about the 11 games for Friday. So let's get into these games from Thursday right now. Detroit and Atlanta was the first one. Andre Drummond, almost the triple-double. 12, 19, and 8 for Drummo. 2 steals and 2 blocks. Didn't hit his shots from the field that well, but went 4 of 4 from the line. And he has obviously been just a fantastic player this season and a real surprise to many people. We also had a big Langston Galloway game. He came out and had 5 threes for 17 points in 22 minutes, in large part because Ish Smith got into very early foul trouble. He had 5 fouls in 10 minutes. Ish trying to pull a Michael Beasley. I think he had 4 fouls in 5 minutes. So that enabled Galloway to get that extra playing time. He also added 3 assists and 3 steals, Gallo. But I don't really think that that's anything for us to get too excited about. Much like Boban Marjanovic in the last game, who was then a DMP CD in this one, I don't think we can rely upon Galloway to be a regular part of the rotation. Avery Bradley and Toby Harris both bounced back. 19 for Toby, 18 for Avery. Avery, not an 8-team guy, maybe not a 10-team, but I'd still have him in 12-team leagues. While Stan Johnson remained on the bench, did jack shit in his playing time as usual. Reggie Bullock had 10 points in 24. I don't think Stan's getting that job back anytime soon. And I also don't think that Reggie Bullock is really having too much fantasy value. On to the Atlanta Hawks, the Baptist, John Collins. He was back. He was on a minutes limit, so he came off the bench and played 20 minutes, but he does what he does. 15 and 7, a steal and a block in 20 minutes. He is a must-own player. He should be owned in all 12s and 10-team leagues. As these minutes go back up to 25, 26, 27, we're going to see some monster performances from him. Ersan Ilyasova had a big game, 23 and 4, but as always with Ilyasova, just have a look at the details. Where did it come from? Well, today he wasn't getting bulk steals, which he did in those random other big games, but he hit 71% of his shots. Again, something that's just unrealistic to expect to continue from Ersan Ilyasova. So we don't expect it to continue. And with Collins likely getting more playing time, Ilyasova is an up and down guy, perfect stream for a day like today with only 5 games on. but just not a guy that you have to hold on to in all 12-team formats. Kent Bazemore blocked three shots, had four assists, but only played 23 minutes as this game was somewhat of a blowout. And Budenholzer just played literally every single player that was available. So we had 10 minutes of Tyler Dorsey, 10 minutes of Marco Bellinelli. Malcolm Delaney got in and played 16 minutes. Just a really weird rotational sort of situation. The artist formerly known as Prince was also limited. He played just 23 minutes. But I wouldn't get too concerned about him being reduced. As I said, everyone played fewer minutes. Even Dennis Schroeder, just the 28, as the Pistons laid the smackdown onto the Atlanta Hawks. The Brooklyn Nets, they hosted the New York Knicks. The Knicks got the victory. The big story, I guess, is Kristaps Porzingis. He left the game early in the third quarter with a knee injury, non-contact knee injury. He says it's not too bad. It's unlikely he plays the next game for the Knicks. He says he's not dealing with too much pain, so that's good news, but we obviously await the results of the MRI. If he is out, Michael Beasley would be a player to stream in, but he provides nothing more than points, so he's not going to be a must-own sort of a guy. Courtney Lee, after a couple of stinkers, bounced back 27 points with 4 rebounds, 3 assists and 2 steals, clearly a must-own guy. While Frankie Ntilikina, not starting, but 27 minutes, closed the game. He's worth adding now. 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and his ability to get assists and steals is valuable now even in 25 to 27 minutes. Jarrett Jack started, he had 8, 2, and 3, but it's only a matter of time before Frank is playing 30 a night and Jack is in that 20-minute a night role. For the Nets, still no Jahlil Okafor. I told you I wasn't high on this guy when the trade went down. I told you my thoughts that perhaps the Nets just did this trade to get a second-round pick. The fact that they got Stauskas, Okafor, and a second for Trevor Booker's expiring contract makes you think that they weren't valuing Okafor all that highly. They're not giving up the picks. They're not giving up the assets to get him. They're getting the assets in order to take him on. And as I've talked about, his future ability with this team is really limited. Now, it could just be that he's out of shape because he's fat, although, vegan diet, and that he hasn't learnt the plays and he hasn't practiced enough. Or maybe he's just not good enough. I think eventually he's going to get into games, but I think, as I said many times, I don't think his upside's that high. He would need 30 minutes a night to be a top 100 player, and I don't think he's going to get that. If I grabbed him, which I didn't, but if I grabbed him, I would hold. The Nets play again on Friday. I'm not sure he plays in that one. Again, no time to practice in between games. I'm not sure he played, but I'd give it a couple more games. If you're willing to, grab him and go out there and really get excited about him and throw your fab budget on him, you just hold for a few more games, but it's clearly not looking good. Tyler Zeller had 9 and 8 in his 24 minutes. Tim Mozgov played, Quincy Acey played, Jarrett Allen got into foul trouble. He only played 10 minutes. So with Jarrett Allen only playing 10 minutes, Okafor still didn't see the court. So at this point, he's the fifth string center. Onto some more positive news. Spencer Dinwiddie, 26, 7 and 7 with 4 triples. Absolutely brilliant stuff from him. Continues to just kill it at this point. And it's going to be interesting to see when Russell comes back what his value is like. I think Russell will be eased in slowly. So even when D'Angelo returns, I think holding for a couple of weeks with Dinwiddie will be the way to go. And my boy Caris LeVert, 15, 5 and 5, 3 steals and 3 threes. Must-own player also. I would comfortably have LeVert over the blue swimmer, Alan Crabb, who was putrid once more, 4 points in 35 minutes, while Damari Carroll had 13, 3 and 3. Still good enough for 12-team leagues, while Rondé, 25 points, a career high, 7 boards, 3 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks. Just an absolute monster performance from Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, and he obviously is a clear must-own player. Maybe Okafor impacts him, but he is clearly more part of the future than Okafor is. He's a better player than Okafor, so I'm not sure how much they're going to try and sacrifice what Hollis Jefferson is doing out there. And as I've said plenty of times before as well, Hollis Jefferson's a better rebounder than Okafor, so it's not like Okafor's this big vacuum that's coming in and sucking the rebounds away. But Rondé has been super impressive recently. Really good stuff to see him doing what he's doing and improving. The Sacramento Kings and the Minnesota Timberwolves. De'Aaron Fox left the game early with a quad contusion after copping a knee. Only played 7 minutes, 2 points and 2 assists, and that enabled Justin Jackson to start the second half. He played just 13 minutes. I wouldn't be getting too excited there. I also don't think there's too much to worry about with Fox, apart from the fact that he's not a good NBA player at this point, and he's not a 12-team league fantasy guy. Georgie Hill, 2 strong games in a row. Coincidentally, it comes after the time when he put out this absolutely ridiculous statement. When I signed with the Kings, I thought they were going to compete. Did you? I don't know why you would have thought that, because you just have a look at the players around. just absolutely bananas. But since he said that, he's played big minutes, 16-2-3. If you want to make a grab on someone just to see how it goes, I'd be okay with grabbing Hill just to see how it goes in the short term. Only 24 minutes for Zach Randolph, still produced 15-9. So if you own him, you do hold there. While Bogdan Bogdanovic played 33 minutes, 9-6, 3 triples and 3 assists. And his minutes are trending in the right direction, while Garrett Temple has been under 20 for about the last week or so. I don't care if Bogdan starts or not, but he needs to be playing these minutes, and he currently is. Budrick Hield, only 10 points in 22 minutes. I just don't think Dave Yeager likes him or thinks he's very good. He's an okay guy for 12-team leagues, but he's hardly a strong player or hardly a strong ad. While Cawley Stein, only 20 minutes, 9-3-2 on some poor shooting. He did start the second half for Labissiere, who continues to start games and just not play any minutes. Cawley Stein's a guy to own. Labissiere, I just don't know if it's ever going to turn around for him, because he's getting the chance to start and they're just not playing him any minutes. Constantly weird coaching by Dave Yeager. But it was good, though, when they were down big late, that Vince Carter got some of those junk time minutes. Always important to really develop Vince and get some of that extra playing time in there for him, despite Yeager saying, you know, we've got to send Jakur Sampson back down so we can develop our young players. And then when you got the opportunity to, you don't. The Minnesota Timberwolves. I almost fell off my chair, even though it is a couch with a back on it, but I almost fell off it when I saw Marcus George Hunt appear in the first half. He played 17 minutes. I'm absolutely staggering that Tom Thibodeau expanded the rotation. Now, George Hunt is a guy I've been talking about that maybe you see what he can give you. And he was all right, 5-1-1 with a 3 in 17 minutes, and that's great. You can limit the minutes of Jimmy Butler, who played only 35 here. Wigo played only 34. Fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Except the Wolves were then up by 20 points with 5 minutes to go, and all of the starters minus Jeff Teague remained in the game until there was 2.5 minutes left. So for what reason, I have absolutely no idea. The Kings weren't playing their best players. They were playing like a development squad out there, and it was just batshit bananas again from Tibbs. Hey, progress was made. We saw George Hunt in that first thing and the minutes were actually okay, but there's no need for those guys to be playing those minutes just trying to beat down on Kings backups. It just didn't make any sense. Jim Butler, 21-7-9, 2 steals and 2 blocks. After that initial concerns we had early, he's been really balling out. While Gorgui Dieng brought the defense, 8 boards, 4 steals, 1 block in 24 minutes, while Taj Gibson battled foul trouble, and that enabled Gorgui to get that playing time. Still no Nemanja Bjelica, so Dieng is likely going to go back to under 20 whenever Bjelica actually returns. Just one of these guys who's been day-to-day for about 4 weeks, along with Rocket Rodney Hood. You just go, they're just not going to play. And that's pretty much where we're at with Bjelica. And now the Timberwolves are going, he's dressed, but he's not going to play. Just tell us this out. What is this bullshit just constantly every day? Wigo scored 22 points, only took him 17 shots, but he had 1 rebound, 0 assists, 0 steals, and 0 blocks. I am real close to giving up on him ever becoming a top 30 or top 40 fantasy player. I just don't think it's ever going to happen for him. Just the way that he plays, it just doesn't look like it's going to change. The Lakers and the Cavs, Lonzo Ball. Another decent game from him, 13-8-11, 2 steals and 3 threes. He's up over 40% shooting over the last 2 weeks. Over the last 3 games, he's shooting over 40% from 3. He can be a top 30 fantasy guy. If he just hits 41% of his shots, I reckon he can be a top 50 guy. In fact, over the last 2 weeks, he's the 44th ranked player, which is clearly top 50 if you know numbers. Kyle Kuzma, Nick Youngdet, he had 20-7 in his 31 minutes, 1 assist, no steals, no blocks. Or Julius Randle had 13-4-3, and Larry Nance had 6-12 with 2 steals. They obviously all bring different things, and you can make an argument that all 3 of Kuzma, Randle, and Nance should be owned, but I'd say Nance is the most expendable. With Kentavious Caldwell-Pope out for personal reasons, Joshy Hart started and was good. 33 minutes, 11-10 with a triple one. I've talked about Hart quite a bit. I do like his value in dynasty leagues, and if KCP leaves after this season, could we be getting a bigger role from Hart? It's a possibility. I like what he does defensively. He does have a nice fantasy skill set, and with him playing big minutes, Jordy Clarkson, who had this big opportunity with KCP out, didn't really take control. 11-1-4 in 25 minutes for Clarko. You still own him, but I continue to have my reservations about what he's going to bring. Onto the Cavs, Love had 28-11 and LeBron had 25-12-12 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. So big numbers for LeBron. We talked Jose already, while the plumber J.R. Smith, he hit 2 triples for 8 points, and there's just a whole lot of nothingness really. Dwayne Wade struggled with his shot, missed his first 6 shots, but did add 6 assists. He's a borderline 12-team league guy, probably not a must-own guy. Definitely not a must-own guy. And Jay Crowder, not a 12-team league guy either. Interesting, we're seeing Jedi Osman play quite a bit here. 10 minutes, 4 points. Yeah, I think you have to be impressed with what you're seeing from Osman, and not a bad deeper dynasty sort of player as well, because he is impressing in the playing time that he's getting. The last game of the night was a blowout. The Warriors smashed the Mavericks. Dirk had a good night, 18-9, but as I've said plenty of times, the upside's so limited with Dirk that when you're heading to fantasy playoffs, he's a good guy to have, and you know, depending on schedule. But in terms of when you're just looking to cycle through, get some wins, he's probably better off being used as a streaming spot. Yogi Ferrell had 13 points in another start, while JJ Barea added 6 assists, and as did Devin Harris. Harris, Barea, and Ferrell all taking up the slack from Dennis Smith Jr. being out. Wes Matthews was relatively putrid. He is not a 10-team league guy, and he's a borderline 12-team league player. Maxi Kleber started, played pretty good defense on Kevin Durant. Just isn't a guy that usually fills up the box score. So while I do like what he's doing and his role feels pretty clear, he's not going to really approach 12 or 14-team league value this season. On to the Warriors. Jordy Bell made the start, 8-6-8 with 2 steals. Love what Bell can do, but I think expecting 20-plus minutes from him this season is not going to happen unless there's an injury. Now, I think he's probably the starting center for this team next season, and I think there's a small chance he could start over Zaza at some point this year. I just don't think it's going to happen. So he's not this awesome stash guy who's going to be playing 25 a night this year at any point. But I do love him for dynasties, as I've talked about plenty of times, where Omri Caspi, 17-11 with a pair of blocks, replacing Draymond in this one, 17-11. That's a big night from Caspi. And if Draymond and Zaza remain out, then these guys have that 12-team league value. Shawnee Livingston started. He had 8 points. Pat McCaw played 30, and he had 2 points, one assist and 2 steals. And neither Livingston, McCaw, or Quinny Cook are going to have that sort of value that I hoped McCaw might have had with Steph Curry out. We still might get something out of Pat. Durant was great, 36-11-7 with 2 blocks, while Clay hit 5 triples for 25 points, and didn't do too much else, but he was still really, really awesome. All right, that covers off all of the action from Thursday. It was all pretty straightforward stuff there. Now I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back, and we're going to preview the action for Friday, where we've got 11 games, and we're going to have a song in the middle here, and it's going to be by the Hot Potato Band, and the song is called This Is How It Should Be. I'll be back in a sec to talk DFS.
Summer has come, winter is long gone. The drinking's begun, night is rolling on. I wanna be right next to you, dancing all night long. I wanna spend the night with you till the daylight comes. Summer days, catching waves, music plays, oh, this is how it should be. On the sun, having fun, too much rum on, this is how it should be now. To the daylight, memories in my mind, a night I thought we'd never find. I wanna be right next to you, dancing all night long. I wanna spend the night with you till the daylight comes. Summer days, catching waves, plays, oh, this is how it should be. On the sun, having fun, too much from home, this is how it should be. We'll be right back.
guys. Let's take a look at the perfect DFS lineups from Thursday. On FanDuel, Spencer Dinwiddie, 48.9, and Jose Calderon, 33.6. Caris LeVert had 33.5, and Joshy Hart had 31. Courtney Lee, 41.3.
LeBron James.
He had 64.4, while Rondae Hollis-Jefferson had 51.9, and Gorgie Jang, 31.6, and Karl Anthony Towns rounded it out with 72.3 for a total of 408.5, and that cost $60,000. On DraftKings, Spencer Dinwiddie 50.25, Galloway 33.25, Hollis Jefferson 48.25, Love had 54.75, Drummond 57.25, Calderon 35.25, Caspi 38.5, and Karl Anthony Towns 69.5 for a total of 387, and that cost $49,400. If I know I talked about uniforms the other day, all of the city versions of the uniforms have leaked through NBA 2K, so go check them out, except for Miami and one other team. I don't remember the other team that didn't leak. Miami one's going to look sick, I can assure you of that, but everything else, I love them. I love these uniforms. There's a couple that I'm not a massive fan of the Brooklyn Nets one, but everything else, I reckon they're awesome. I love the creativity shown. I can't wait to see them out on the court, so that's my uniform chat for today. Let's have a look at these games now. The first one we're going to take a peek at is the Miami Heat and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets are favored by 5. The total is 204.5. We know that Hassan Whiteside is out. Nick Batum should be right to go after he played in the last game and played 30 minutes. Tyler Johnson is back, while Justice Winslow will be out also for the Heat. At point guard, speaking of Johnson, he's at 4,700. I think he's a fairly solid option, especially with Justice out. That pushes more minutes for Joshy Richardson and Dion Waiters more to the 2-3, and I think that does give Johnson an extra shot. I think he's a decent cash play, but probably more of a tournament upside play. He's been pretty okay lately, but some of that's been a little bit fluky due to some of his shooting. The iron shoulder is struggling. Goran Dragic is at 6,500. I'm not ready to invest that there. While Kemba Walker at 7,700. I think that's a pretty strong play for Kemba. He does decently well against Dragic. He's got a decently solid floor, and he's got that 45 to 50 point upside. So I like him for tournaments, and I think he's a pretty good cash point guard as well. Shooting guards, got Jez Lamb at 4,600. I won't be using him with Batum there. Definitely not in cash. He's averaging just 14 over his last five, Jez. Not interested. While Batum at 6,000, he's not really doing too much. Now, he has also got a good record against Miami, but I think it would be not a great idea to consider him a DFS play here. The Duke, Wayne Ellington, up to 4,300 because he is killing it. He dropped 37 in the last game, but in terms of relying upon him, you need the threes to hit. Now, they're falling at a pretty good rate, but yeah, threes can be a little bit fluky. So that makes him a hard guy to rely upon in cash games, but he's a decent tournament play. I just would have preferred he was still under 4,000 because the 4,300 price tag does take a little bit of his upside away. At small forward, Joshy Richardson's at 46. Yeah, tournaments for Josh, but we can't rely upon him in cash, and he's not a strong play either. While Kidd Gilchrist has been playing very well, he's up to 5,400 now and has a 33.5 point average over his last three games. I don't really feel it. I feel like a lot of his production is decently fluky, and that takes me away from using him. I'll tell you who I do like, though. Yes, James Johnson. At 6,200, without Justice Winslow, he is going to be playing a lot of minutes, and I think that he is a very, very strong play for DFS cash and tournament upside. Really do like him here. Kelly Olynyk, who can battle some foul trouble, but he's got 35-point upside. He's at 5,400. I like the opportunity for him here, another 30 minutes. Dwight Howard could be a problem for Kelly, so that's why I wouldn't be wanting to look at him as a cash option, but he's still definitely worth a squeeze. Frankie Kaminsky, 3,700. He hasn't played 20 minutes in either of the last two games, despite Cody Zeller being out. While Marvin Williams is Mr. Unexciting, so I won't be looking there. Bam Adebayo at 4,000. He's getting some okay numbers. I still think there's an element of risk in terms of his floor, but there is a 30-point upside, a 35-point upside for Bam, so that makes him mildly interesting, and especially if Olynyk gets into foul trouble, which is a possibility against Howard. Yeah, Bam could come in there, provide some defense, block some shots, get some steals if they feed Dwight a lot, and get his hands on some balls.
Giggity.
And that would be interesting. So I think he's got some level of upside there. As for Howard, he is at 9,200 now. Now I know he's been really good, averaging 45 over the last five. I just hate that price for Howard, and that's not something that I feel like is really worth looking at. Look, he could easily have 40 here, easily, but I think that he's got floor is probably a little bit low. Maybe it's like a 35-point floor, which at 9,200 is not something I really want to get overly interested in. And yeah, that does it for that game. Let's have a look over on DraftKings, though, at that game and have a look how things shake out. For tournaments, it's really the Duke at 3,800, a much more appealing price, and I really do like him for tournaments quite a bit on DraftKings. And for cash, we've got Jimmy Johnson at 5,900, one of the strongest cash ones out there. Kemba's at 73, which I like, and Dwight comes in at 8,100 on DraftKings. So I think that makes Dwight, you know, a real cash option on DraftKings. We're talking over $1,000 cheaper than on FanDuel, and I do really like him here. As for Kelly Olynyk at 5,100, that price is also appealing. His numbers haven't been great with just a 23-point DraftKings average over his last five, but I think here it is worth looking at him. If you're going to lean one way, it's probably tournaments, but I could understand using Kelly Olynyk in cash over on DraftKings. Let's have a look at the next game. It is the Detroit Pistons on a back-to-back taking on the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are favored by 4.5, and the total is 208.5 points. No injury concerns for us to worry about with either team, so that's always good news. At point guard, Reg Jackson, 5,700. Not really getting it done lately, but I think that using him in a tournament is worth a look. He'll be very, very lowly owned, I would imagine. And point guards against the Pacers have been okay, a little bit above average. So that gives Reggie somewhat of a level of upside at 5,700 there. Corey Joseph, no way. Daz Collison, he's at 58. That's a nice price drop for Collison. I think that he is worth looking at in cash. I'd probably feel more comfortable using him over Reggie Jackson in cash. Jackson probably has the higher GPP upside. Langston Galloway had that big game today, but I don't really think we can expect that sort of performance all the time. As I said, it was initiated by the fouls that Ish Smith got into, or the foul trouble. Vic Oladipo, 9,600. Love Oladipo. Too high. He didn't shit the bed, but he didn't live up to that price in the last game against the Thunder. He had 36 points in that game. Look, he's been putting up great numbers, but 9,600 is pushing like elite territory, and I'm not really quite sure I rely upon him for that. In a matchup which could be a little bit lower pace, I think that that's a fade situation. While Avery Bradley, we have no trust in him. He's a tournament sort of guy, and played all right today, but only still 26 points. It wasn't like it was a huge performance from Avery. So in a tournament, maybe not loving it though. Small forward Boyan's at 4,700. He's always an upside tournament sort of a guy who did pretty well against the Thunder. While Lance, not with everyone healthy. Reggie Bullock is starting, but I don't really give a shit. And Stan Johnson off the bench, no interest. Toby Harris, 6,700. I think that's too high. There's no real upside and a low floor. But I do like Thaddeus Young, 6,800. He's coming off that monster 7-steal game against the Thunder where he had 54 points. I wouldn't be expecting that, but I think getting 30, 32 out of him is a decent expectation for a floor. The minutes are going to be fine. We're seeing Domantas Sabonis' minutes has been reduced. I think Thad against Toby Harris is a decent matchup. He's not going to get played off the floor in any sort of situation there. The Pistons go to Toby quite a bit, so Young's going to have opportunities for steals. I like him. I like him quite a bit at that price especially as well. At center, Miles Turner, 7,900. That's way too high for me to really look at him as a cash guy. He hasn't been living up to that level of production. He could be a tournament player, but there are better guys out there. Whereas Andre Drummond, on the other hand, 9,400 for Drummo, just killed it in Atlanta. And we've seen a lot of bigs go real big against Miles Turner. This is a 60-point upside territory for Drummo, so I really do like it for tournaments. I could consider there's some cash value there. The only reason I might steer away from cash is just because it is a back-to-back. But I think he's in big territory here. Really good opportunity for Drummo to put up some big numbers. Let's look on DraftKings how it shakes out. Oladipo's cheaper at 8,900, and I look at that more as a tournament sort of a guy. I'm not really feeling him for cash. The guys I do like for cash are Thaddeus Young at 62, Miles Turner, much cheaper here again, 6,400. And given he is averaging 32 over the last five, without really playing spectacularly well, I think you should feel a level of confidence in him for cash at that sort of a price tag. Drummond at 9,100 is also a strong play, as I highlighted earlier in that matchup against Turner. It is really a positive for Drummond to go up against him there. Yeah, you can still throw some of those other guys in. Daz Collison's at 57, a little bit more expensive, but nothing really stands out as a great cash play apart from those guys that I mentioned. Let's look at the next one now, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers are favored by 1.5, and the total is 212 points. Bob Cove is back for the Sixers, so that's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing shakes out with everyone healthy in that front court rotation. What happens to Rashawn Holmes, Trevor Booker, Amir Johnson? So there's a lot of uncertainty. Dario Saric, how is that all going to play out with this team? At point guard, TJ McConnell's at 4,100. The projections like him. I don't really like him in this spot. He wouldn't be someone I'd be overly interested in. While Russ at 10,900. I think that Russ has got 52 or 53 in him here, which is pretty good value at 10,900, and I like him for cash. Got an average of 56 the last three times against the Sixers. Granted, the Sixers team from then is not the same as now, but a 50-point performance from Westbrook, I don't think that should come as really any level of a shock at all. At shooting guard, Abrines will start again with Andre Robertson ruled out. He's at 3,900. He's been just pouring in 20-point games. I think he's okay in cash if you want to load up on, if you want to go stars and scrubs. Abrines is that per sub 4,000 guy who's going to play likely 25 plus minutes, probably 30, and has upside with a decent floor. So I do like him here. Redick at 5,800. I'd rather take Abrines and save that $2,000, to be honest. At small forward, Paulie George, 7,600. He's been below par for a while, 32-point average over his last five, and that includes a 61-point game in those last five. So a couple of real turds in there, but I think that this is an opportunity for him to bounce back. Small forwards have gone really well against the Sixers so far this season. I really do like Paul George here. It could bite me in the ass, but I do like it. Yeah, Bob Cove's obviously a very good defender, but he's playing quite a bit at the four as well. That might change. They might go big, and they might go with Saric. Well, they will go big. They'll go with Saric and Covington in there alongside Embiid. But George has still been able to have some of that action, or small forwards in general have been able to have some of that bonus, I guess, playing the Sixers. As for Covington, $7,000. Yeah, tournaments only for Cove. We know he can hit those threes, but coming off the back injury, it's probably a little bit, it'd be a little bit bold to consider him a cash play. At power forward, this is where it gets interesting. Benny Simmons is at 9,200. Been a little bit muted in his production, so at that price, I'd look at him for tournaments. Mallow is at 6,500. He's just not getting anywhere near that, so I'm not really keen there. And then we've got guys like Saric. We've got Amir Johnson. We've got Trevor Booker. Booker's been averaging 30 points over the three games for Philadelphia, but with everyone back, with Covington back, with Embiid back, does he get the 21 minutes he's played over those three games? I'd say that's highly unlikely, so I don't think that's a great spot, especially at 6,000. It's just a horrendous situation to use him. Saric at 6,400. Again, the uncertainty of the minutes makes me not want to be using him. At center, Embiid's at 11,000. Yeah, look, Stephen Adams is a really good defender, and that's the only reason I wouldn't consider Embiid a cash lock. Probably more of a tournament guy with clear 60-point upside, but not really ready to go in there at cash because a Stephen Adams defensive performance could mean 40 points, which is not great at 11,000. Rashawn Holmes, 3,700, so really cheap still. There is the uncertainty here. Now, he came off a huge game where he had 32 points starting for Covington, but obviously Covington's back. So what does Holmes do? Does Holmes come down and then play exclusively as the backup five? Does he even play at all with Booker and Amir Johnson? That is the risk. So you can't use him in cash, despite how appealing that salary looks, unless we just hear, okay, Rashawn is going to be playing backup four and Johnson and Amir won't play, Johnson and Booker won't play, then you can look at him in cash, but otherwise he's a tournament guy with a lot of uncertainty. Steve Adams at 6,900. Centers have done well against Embiid, but I think that price for Adams, despite how well he's played, it's probably just a little bit too high, but he's got the 40-point upside, so if I'm going to use him anyway, it'd be tournaments, but I probably wouldn't end up using him at all. The DraftKings situation here. I like Covington at 6,100 for tournaments. That's a great price with that 40-50-point upside is awesome. For cash, I like Dario Saric at 56. I think that's a strong cash play with limited upside, but I do like him at that sort of a salary. He's averaged 31 across his last five, and then Westbrook at 11,400 and Embiid at 9,800. I love Embiid at 9,800 on DraftKings. I talked about Adams, but at 9,800, a lot of your risk is mitigated just by that lower salary. So I think that even if he got 40, it's not a complete disaster. And then if he gets 60, it's a smashing. So I do like Embiid there. Westbrook at 11,400. You're not as keen on him as I am with FanDuel, but still there is value there of him getting a 60-pointer or a 55-pointer against the Sixers. Not a crazy expectation. Paulie George is at 7,700, so obviously more expensive than on FanDuel. So that makes me go, if you're going to use him in tournaments. Let's look at the next game. We've got the Portland Trailblazers and the Orlando Magic. Lots of uncertainty here. Aaron Aflalo, questionable. John Isaac, questionable. Aaron Gordon, questionable. And then for Portland, it's Yusuf Nurkic, questionable, and Myers Leonard, probable. Obviously, if we have no Isaac, Aflalo, and Gordon, then Mario Hezonja becomes that option you want to have a look at. You can have a swipe at Weza Wundu, who would likely start and play 30 minutes. But there's so many different scenarios of what could happen here in Orlando. Lots of different guys that can get boosts, and you can check all that out over on Basketball Monster with our what if scenarios, 7 different scenarios for Orlando, depending on which combination of those guys are in or out. For Portland, it's more straightforward. It's Nurkic in or Nurkic out. Now, if Nurkic is out, Myers Leonard would likely get the start, and he'd be a GPP guy, and you could also throw Zach Collins into that mix, but neither of those guys would be cash plays. Let's have a look at this game, assuming that all these guys actually do play. I think the one most likely not to play is going to be John Isaac, but he has participated in practice, so that's the first good thing we've really heard about his recovery in a while. DJ Augustine's at 3,700. He'd be worth a squeeze if we have all three of those guys out, but he shit the bed in the last game, just 6.5 points. Lord Alfred Payton at 7,200, probably still a little bit too high for me. While Dame Lillard at 9,500. I think that Dame Lillard is almost a 40-point guarantee against the Magic here. I think he's got 50-point upside, clearly. And a 45 is not an unrealistic expectation on most times. Really, really good matchup for Dame. So I'm in on him at 9,500. Shabazz Napier back into the rotation, almost minimum salary. Not a lot of trust though. Shooting guards, McCollum 7,100, really bounced back in the last one. I think this is a 40-point type scenario for him also. So I like that. Aflalo wouldn't give a shit about even if he did play. While Pat Connaughton at 3,500 saw his minutes dip so Napier could get back in last game, so not much to see. At small forward, Evan Turner, does he start once again over Mo Harkless? Probably. Almost minimum salary for Evan, so you could, if a guy's going to start, you could always look at him as a tournament play, but he really hasn't had many big games at all this year, so there's not a lot of upside. Well, John Simmons at 6,700, like him for cash, love it if Gordon is out, love it even more if Aflalo was out, but some real strong value potentially there for Simo. While Awundu at 4,100 hasn't really lit the world on fire, just 13 points in 33 minutes in the last game, but the potential's there, and he is a GPP type of option if those players are out. As for As Gordon, 8,200, the salary has dipped. I like throwing that into a GPP if he actually plays, of course. Well, John Isaac, really hard to use him. At center, Nurkic is at 7,200. Again, if he plays like Aaron Gordon, I think there is some GPP upside, but I wouldn't want to use that in cash at all. Well, Nick Vucevic is just crushing it, but now that makes him at 9,800, and that's fair enough because he's averaging 54 points over the last five. But if Gordon returns, we know Fournier's out. If Gordon returns, that does limit him. If Gordon's out, you could consider that a decently safe center option, an alternative to, say, Andre Drummond at center in that 9,000 price bracket. If Gordon's in, I really don't think that using Vooch is going to be a worthwhile exercise. On DraftKings, Lord Alfred Payton comes in at 6,000, so that's super, super cheap, and that does increase my interest in him. Now, he's only averaging 23 over the last five, which is nowhere near enough at 6,000. But 6,000, his ability to have 45 is great, and that returns fantastic value at that sort of salary. So he's in play there. Vooch is also a tournament option at 8,500, and that solidifies to cash if Gordo is out. While I like CJ McCollum at 6,900, he's a strong, strong cash play. Lillard at 94 on DraftKings, are not as interested in him as I am on FanDuel, just given the salary cap differences. I haven't spoken much about Al-Farouq Aminu much because I don't think he's going to hit 5 threes for the fourth game in five attempts. And yeah, he needs to do more in other areas. So look, at 4,900, he's okay, but I think he'll probably be a little bit highly owned, and I'm not sure it's going to be the greatest option to consider him. The next game to look at, we've got the LA Clippers and the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are favored by a big, big 9.5, and the total is 210 here. Markieff Morris has been upgraded to probable after missing the last game, or Yan Mahinmi is questionable after missing the last game. If Mahinmi is out, it's a slight boost to Marcin Gortat. It's a boost to Jason Smith. If Mahinmi is in, it really renders Gortat impotent from a fantasy point of view, not speaking about his penile function. On to the Clippers. Austin Rivers is out. The Rooster Danilo Gallinari is out. So there's value opening up here. Lou Williams, Milos Teodosic, depending on what we know about his minutes, he's going to come into play on certain sites depending on the salary. So let's have a look at Milos on FanDuel. 6,300. That is a huge, huge bump. A, we don't know if he is going to play 30 plus minutes or if he's going to be limited to 25. And even if he was playing 30, I'm not sure I'd be totally in on him at 6,300. In a tournament, sure, he could go out there and have 15 and 15. But it's a big, big risk at that sort of a salary. Juwan Evans is a guy who played 25 minutes in that last game with Rivers missing the second half. He's at 4,000, maybe, but probably not worth really the look. While Tomas Satoransky and Sendarius Thornwell, minimum salary type players who I don't really think in this scenario are worth looking at. At shooting guard, Bradley Beal's come down to 8,100. I want him to come down another 600-700 before I really start looking at him. He's good. But with Johnny Wall around, it's hard for him to get the 40 a night that he's going to need to justify that salary. While Lou Williams at 8,800, well, with Rivers out, with the Rooster out, he's going to shoulder everything pretty much. So at 8,800, we're talking about a guy that should be getting 40 without too much hassle and is really looking at 50, 55 sort of value. So I like Lou Williams quite a bit. CJ Williams could start, but it doesn't mean he's going to put up numbers, so I'm not really all that interested. Sammy Decker getting minutes over Wes Johnson lately, 4,300. So it seems like a pretty aggressive price bump considering he is not doing big, big numbers. There is some upside there, but it's not sensational. Otto Porter at 7,000, much better now that Johnny Wall is back. Actually, I didn't even talk about Wall. 9,100 for Wall. Given he could be limited with minutes, I think that's only a tournament play, if that. It's pretty expensive. Porter at 7,000, just really upside limited. I think floor's not that high in that case. I'm not really feeling Otto. I'm just not a massive Otto fantasy guy in terms of DFS type points. At power forward, the table, Montrezl Harrell, 3,900. Big game, two games ago, nothing in the last one, really, not really keen. While Mike Scott started in Markieff Morris's absence, but with Morris likely to play, his minimum salary is not going to really come good, I wouldn't think. Jamel Wilson will likely start, and he will likely do nothing in that time. Not interested in Markieff, while Gortat at 4,500. Yeah, he had 32 in the last game with Mahinmi and Morris out. Now, if Mahinmi's out, I would consider Gortat, but I wouldn't lock him into cash. If all these guys play, I don't think you can really consider Gortat considering he's going to play 23, 24 minutes, most likely. As for DeAndre Jordan, 8,500, so a price bump there, but he has been putting up big, big numbers lately with a 43-point average over his last five. I think that's a pretty strong cash option on FanDuel. On DraftKings, there's a lot more cash plays here. I like Sammy Decker for tournaments at 3,700. There's 23, 24-point upside perhaps, which is not bad at 37. And then a bunch of guys I like for cash. Lou Williams at 76, probably one of the best guys on the slate to lock in for cash. Johnny Wall at 8,000, much more interested in that. Beals at 72, love that. With Wall back, or DeAndre at 74, also strong play. So there's a bunch of stackability in this game. Also, Milos is at 4,500, so I'm not as worried about minutes limits for Milos. If he plays 26 minutes, I think he maintains 4,500 worth of value. In the last game, in fact, he put up 29 points in 25 minutes and only had 8, 6, and 6. So he's got real value at that 4,500 number. That's a great, great price to look at Milos Teodosic over on DraftKings. Let's go to the next game now. We're talking about the Utah Jazz. They are taking on the Boston Celtics. The Celtics are favored by 5.5, and this is not a great fantasy game. A total of only 198 points. Al Horford is likely back after resting the last game. Marcus Morris is out. We know that. At point guard, Ravishing Rick Rubio is down to 4,900. Just really not getting us too excited. But at that price, if he's in your tournament pool, it's not a bad move. Rozier, not keen on. While Kyrie at 8,400, I think that despite the fact that the total's pretty low, I think he's a fairly reliable cash play who should be getting you at least 40, which is pretty much what you want as a cash guy. I'm pretty happy with what his floor is going to bring here. At shooting guard, you've got Rocket Rodney Hood at 4,700. Just not sure how the minutes are going to necessarily go down, but that's a really nice price, and there is some tournament upside there for him. That's a $1,000 drop from the last game. Don Mitchell, 7,400, dropped 51 in the last outing. I like it. I do really like Don Mitchell here. Talking about a guy that's, you know, I wouldn't say he's got 40-point floor, but he's got almost 35-point floor given the way that he is playing. Alec Burks is a little bit too risky given we're not sure exactly how the minutes are going to go, especially with Joe Johnson now back, which might push Tarbo down from the 4 down to the 3 and could really impact some things. So it's a little bit unknown about how Burks is going to go. At Jinglin Joe at 4,700, I think that's fairly strong for cash with limited upside. Well, Jaylen Brown at 5,900, he's a tournament-y type of guy. I just don't think he's really reliable enough for cash. And I'm not sure that his explosions are common enough to look at, especially in this sort of a game where we're talking low pace. I'm not really interested in Jaylen Brown. Tarbo, Joe Johnson, we wouldn't want to touch them. At power forward, Jason Tatum at 5,700. His numbers have been a little bit lower than usual lately. Shit matchup. I think that he is a tournament guy only and not really interested in him for cash. Same with Derek Favors. I don't really think Derek Favors is worth looking at in tournaments either, nor is Vanilla Tice with Al Horford back. At center, Gobert's at 7,000. He had 36 in the last game, and it wasn't his best performance. The 5 blocks really helped there. I'm not really looking to lock him in cash at all. I think that this is still probably fade him until he get a few more minutes under his belt. While Al Horford at 7,800, while the Gobert factor is still an issue, and at 7,800, Horford is he's overpriced at that price. Baines is at 3,800, obviously had a big one in the last game with Horford out. Probably hard to expect that to continue, but at 3,800, there is a level of intrigue. It's just not that high. On DraftKings, not much of love here in this one on DraftKings, to be honest. I love the Don at 6,600. Really like that. I think that's strong. Kyrie at 8,000 is also strong. And if you're going to use Al Horford, use him on DraftKings because he comes in at 6,600, which despite Gobert, there is still some value there in Horford, but it's not the strongest play. Brown, Tatum, maybe tournament, but I'm not loving it. Rocket Rodney Hood and Ravishing Rick Rubio, no. But I'd be happy locking Jinglin Joe in at 4,700 in cash just to get that 24, 25 points and then build around it if you need some other salary to fill the gaps in. The next game we'll take a look at, we've got the Brooklyn Nets taking on the Toronto Raptors. The Nets on that back-to-back, as I mentioned. Will we see Jahlil Okafor? Who knows? At this point, I don't think you really want to be relying upon him. You can throw him into a GPP, of course, but that's about it. At point guard, you've got Kyle Lowry, 8,300. Big opportunity for him. He's done well against the Nets. Point guards in general do well against the Nets. So I like Lowry at 8,300. And then you've got Spencer Dinwiddie, who dropped 49 today. He's at 7,300. Now, the Raptors in general are really tough against point guards. That could be a problem for Dinwiddie. That 7,300 price tag's not too high. So I do think that he is a decent cash play. There is some consistency concerns with his shooting, and that could really limit his ability. So maybe just look at him as a tournament guy. At shooting guard, DeMar DeRozan at 9,100. I love what DeRozan does, but that's too expensive for me, especially considering it's a back-to-back for the Nets. They're on the road. It could be a little bit blowouty, and that might limit DeRozan. Instead of playing 37, he might play 32, and that would really screw with that value. At small forward, the blue swimmer, Alan Crabb. Yeah, he's just yuck at the moment. You want to go revenge games, you can look at Damari Carroll. He's at 5,600. I'm not really focused on revenge games. I just think he's a good option to use here at that low salary. He does have some value. Jumpin' Joe Harris, the Jedi, OG Anunoby, some cheap plays who don't really get it moving. If I'm going to go cheap at small forward in this game, it's going to be CJ Miles for his ability to rack up steals in bunches and hit threes in bunches, which at 3,600 could, you know, result in a 30-point game, which would be great. But of course, we're looking at that for tournaments only. At power forward, Rondé's at 7,100. I'm okay looking at Rondé at that price. He's been absolutely awesome, but I'd prefer to use Serge Ibaka. $600 less for Serge. He's been playing really well. 35-point average over his last 5 games. I think he's in a good opportunity here against the Nets, who doesn't have anyone who's really going to bully him or anything like that. I think that's a great spot for Serge Ibaka. Siakam and AC, no. Jonas Valanciunas, big minutes, big production in his last couple of games. He's now up to 5,700. If he plays 30 minutes against the Nets, he smashes that. The problem is, does he go play 18 or does he play 30? And that's something that only Dwayne Casey knows. I'm not sure that Allen and Zala and Okafor are really going to limit Valanciunas. So I think this could be an opportunity for him to play more minutes, which makes him a very, very interesting GPP center. Tyler Zeller's not. Jakob Poeltl has been limited recently with Valanciunas' good play. And Jarrett Allen at 3,900. He's always worth a GPP look. But of course, we're not really considering him a cash guy. And again, if you want to throw Okafor in, do it. But this is two games in a row that he hasn't played. Maybe this is his debut. I wouldn't be holding my breath, though. On DraftKings, I think there's a lot of value here. Valanciunas at 4,900. I'm almost tempted to consider him for cash. But given just the unpredictability of Casey, he's more tournament, but he's a strong tournament. And for cash, I like Rondé a lot at 5,800. That's a stupid low price. Yeah, he smashed it today, 48 points. He's averaging 37 over his last five. That is massive, massive for cash for Hollis Jefferson. I like Lowry at 8,200 just for a guy that's probably going to drop a 40, which is really strong. Ibaka at 61, also good. And Caris LeVert at 5,200. I love that price for LeVert. Again, like Hollis Jefferson, I reckon you can lock both those guys in and get cash value from them pretty comfortably. Damari Carroll at 5,000 is also worth a look. I'd probably lean more tournament than cash, but he could absolutely be used in cash. I wouldn't want to use Damari, LeVert, and Rondé all together, but two of those three I think is an okay way to spend, you know, $10,000 in a cash lineup. So definitely some value there for those Nets players, even though it is a back-to-back, I think they'll be okay. The Atlanta Hawks and the Memphis Grizzlies, no spread currently for this one. Mike Muscala, just one of those guys that's day-to-day every single day. Don't expect him to play, so that's going to give some more minutes to Tyler Cavanaugh, to Miles Plumlee, to whatever dickhead that Mike Budenholzer can drag off the bench to fill minutes. On Memphis side of things, it's more important, the injury. It's Tyreke Evans. He is questionable with a hip issue. Chandler Parsons is probable. Someone landed on his back. He should be right to go, and he's been really impressive lately when he actually plays. If Tyreke is out, Andy Harrison gets more value. We look at Parsons getting a little bit more value as well in that scenario, and Mario Chalmers perhaps, but he didn't really provide too much in that last game, did he? At point guard, Dennis Schroeder, 7,700, has been disappointing. If you're going to use him in a low tempo-ish type of game, it's only got to be a tournament. I'm not really feeling too much with him. While Andy Harrison's up to 4,500, I never thought I'd see the day when Harrison was pushing over $4,000, but rightfully so, because he's averaging 25 over his last five, had 35 in the last game. And if Tyreke is out, I'm in on that. I think that's cash worthy if Tyreke is out. I'm really impressed with him, and the minutes are going to be there. Chalmers, minimum salary, so obviously worth a GPP flyer if Tyreke happens to be out, but otherwise we wouldn't want anything to do with him. Benny McLemore, no. Kent Bazemore, struggled a bit today, but the numbers weren't too bad. Still put up 26 points in only 23 minutes. I like him for cash here at 5,600. I think that's worth looking at. Ballinelli, no. Tyreke at 77 is probably a little bit high for a guy that we don't know whether he's going to play, but there is some tournament upside given the state of the opposition. At small forward, formerly, is at 5,800. Shit the bed a little bit today, but had been really strong before that. I expect a bounce back from Taurean Prince and a 30-point performance. I think he's a cash option. Bembry at 41. Yeah, drop at 300 and I'll be interested. Jim Ennis, no. Dylan Brooksy, no. Chandler Parsons at 44 is an intriguing one. I'm not ready to go with it yet. I like what he's been doing, but at 4,400, I'm just not really seeing huge upside or a really high floor. Jermichael Green at 5,400, monster in his last game. Prior to that, putrid, so I'm not looking at him. While the Baptist, John Collins, he had 31 points in 20 minutes today, so he is just a permanent monster. 5,900 is fairly high, and I don't feel confident in using him for cash, especially if he's going to match up against Marc Gasol and fouls could be a problem. But at 5,900, if he gets 28 minutes, then he's got 45-point upside in that time. The problem is he could also have 20 points, which it would not be great at that salary, so that's the risk. Ersan Ilyasova shot well. He's at 5,300. You cannot rely upon that all the time. Not really feeling too excited there. While at center, Marc Gasol's at 8,300. Good matchup here for Gasol. I think that's worth a look. If you don't want to go up for Vooch or for Drummond, then Gasol at 8,300 feels all right. But he's been underperforming, so I don't look at him as a lock cash guy. He is an option given the matchup, but that's really the thing that might tip me to use him. And of course, Miles Plumlee is not someone that we care about from a fantasy point of view. On DraftKings, Andy Harrison's at 46, so they've bumped him up even further. That really does sort of take him away from the cash play to me. He still has tournament upside. He dropped 36 in that last game. 36 at 4,600 is worth it. But in cash, I don't feel great enough about his floor on the DraftKings scenario. Well, 7,000 for Schroeder, only a tournament option, has struggled a little bit in the last couple of games. I like Kent Bazemore for cash in 57, and John Collins, same story that I mentioned before. At 5,500, really the value to smash through that. But will it happen against Gasol? That's the risk. And he, at 5,500, is a tournament type of player. Let's look at the next game. We're talking about the Chicago Bulls. We're talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. Does the Nikola Mirotic experience continue? We're not sure because we don't know if Lauri Markkanen is going to play. On the Milwaukee side, Tone Snell and Matt Dellavedova are both questionable. Neither Dellavedova, Snell, Rashad Vaughn, DeAndre Liggins, Gaz Payton, none of those guys are really going to have any sort of value. So the status of those guys doesn't really impact us too much for DFS. Markkanen's the interesting one. If he is out, it's all about Nikola Mirotic, who has been absolutely smashing. I think that Mirotic's numbers will be muted if Markkanen plays, therefore making him a shit play. But if we find out early enough that he's going to start and Markkanen's out, then I do like him for cash. A point guard, Eric Bledsoe's at 7,600. Point guards have had great success against the Bulls this season. I think that this is a 40-point type scenario for Bledsoe, so I do like him quite a bit. As for Chrissy Dunn, up to 7,400, that's because he's getting those numbers. I think he is absolutely worth looking at as well. And if I had to choose between him and Bledsoe, it would be Bledsoe. But I think that Dunn has been playing well enough to consider him even a cash option. The other point guards, Dally and Grant, no. At shooting guard, Brogdon's at 49. I'm not interested in Brogdon. Just the complete dickery of Jason Kidd is turning me off. Tone Snell, he's a minimum salary player, Tone Snell, because he is not a good contributor. Chrissy Middleton, 7,800, is probably just a little bit too high. For me, not really looking there. Look, he's been good. He's got a 36.5 point average over the last five, which is not far off where you need to be at 7,800. I just feel it's a little bit too high for Middleton, although his floor is decent. So in a day where pricing's decently tight, Middleton's not a bad cash option. Justin Holiday has been shitful recently, and I wouldn't be spending up on him. At small forward, the hammer, Denzel Valentine, 4,400. The minutes have been okay. The production has not. If you're going to use him, it's tournaments. While David Nwaba is priced higher than the hammer, I would much rather Denzel than Nwaba. Neither of them are strong options. While Yanni is at 12,500. That is just stupid, stupid high. But given the matchup, given who he is, given the opposition, I think it's worthwhile if you can fit some other cheap options around him, which I think you might be able to do in an 11-game slate. So he is a cash option. At power forward, we've got the Muppet John Henson, 5,700. In on him. He's been decently solid. He had a 25-point floor, it feels like, most nights, which is a good spot. While Mirotic at 5,900, it's a big, big jump. But if Markkanen's out, I'm still in on Mirotic. You know I think he's good. PunchBob Shiploke at 4,500 has been putting up some okay numbers, and he'd be in it, not a bad cash play. If Markkanen is out, if Markkanen's in, then no. As for Lowry, he's at 6,300. I wouldn't be using him at all, even if he's ready to go. Of course, I wouldn't use him if he's out, but if he's ready to go, I'm not in. Bob Lopez, 5,400. I reckon that's a cash play. I think we've seen centers do all right against Milwaukee. I think Bob is a cash option with very, very limited tournament upside, so don't use him. Or Thon McCur is minimum salary for a reason. On DraftKings, there's a bunch of cash guys, but we'll go with Mirotic at 5,500 as a tournament option. I think that even if Markkanen plays, he's worth a tournament look on DraftKings given the scoring system because he might play some more minutes. And of course, we smash that if Lowry is out. For cash, it's Yanni at 11,600, pretty self-explanatory. Bledsoe and Dunn at 71 and 6,500. I think they both could have 40-point games here. And the Muppet John Henson at 4,700 is real strong. And Robin Lopez at 4,800. I think that's feels pretty comfortable that he will get that for cash with limited upside as well. So very similar guys that I like on DraftKings and on FanDuel for that game. The next game is the New Orleans Pelicans and the Denver Nuggets. Fartin Will Barton is questionable for Denver. If he is out, we're going to see more from Gaz Harris.
Nice, Gary!
More from Baby Neck Wilson Chandler and more reliability from the Blue Arrow Jamal Murray. If he is in, it does cloud things a little bit. Of course, we should be getting Nikola Jokic back unless Dr. Malone sees it in his eyes and decides his head's not ready and then he won't play. I'd imagine he starts. I imagine Fareed starts but plays under 20 and Trey Lyles plays the majority of those minutes at power forward despite not starting. As I said before, you want Fareed paired with Jokic for pretty much every one of his minutes. So that is something to pay attention to. At point guard, Rajon Rondo, 6,000. Was terrible in the last one, 19 points in 18 minutes. He should be okay for 30 points here, though. He's worth a look, and he's not a bad cash play. The Blue Arrow at 5,700. Love what we've seen from him, averaging 36 over the last three, including 50 in that game against Boston. At 5,700, I'm still not ready to lock him in as cash, but I feel good that he should be getting 30 minutes a night if his coach wasn't anyone that, if his coach was anyone else that wasn't the good doctor, I'd feel pretty good about him in cash. But at this point, we're going with tournaments for him. At shooting guard, Gaz is at 6,400. I'm banging that. I think that's great value. If Jokic plays, it knocks it a little bit, but Gaz has been just so efficient and so consistent. As for Barton at 7,000 with Jokic back, it's a little hard to get behind Barton at that price. You could consider it, and I would do it only for tournaments, really. Well, Jrue Holiday at 7,400 has been strong most nights, and I think that's not a bad cash play. He's got a 50-point average over the last three and 43 over his last five, which is obviously really, really good at 7,400. And even in the last game where he struggled, he still put up 36 points in 38 minutes, which is value at 7,400. So I think he's a really, really good play. Etuan Moore, the greatest shooter in NBA history. He's at 4,800. He's hitting his threes at a stupendously high rate. At some point, it will drop, and that makes him more of a tournament guy. But if you can get 40 out of him, which you can, then he's in the conversation. At small forward, Babynex at 46. I'd need to see Farton, Will Barton out before we use Wilson Chandler. Darius Miller, Dante Cunningham, no. Trey Lyles at 43, he is a GPP guy. If everything goes as I expect, Jokic starts, Fareed plays limited minutes, and Lyles comes in and plays his 25 to 28 off the bench. He's averaging 24.5 over his last five games, Lyles, and that's great at 4,300. The reliability isn't quite there. Tone Davis at 11-1, in, totally in on that. Well, Ken Fareed at 47, out. Yeah. At center, Jokic at 9,300. The Boog Cousins matchup might be a struggle. We don't know the minutes for Nick. I think that's a fade situation. Well, Boog at 11-7, he's got a 57-point average the last three times out against Denver, and I don't think, expecting 57 out of him, I don't think that's an unrealistic spot. His lowest score in his last five games, Boogie, has been 41. So a decent floor, a big ceiling. Really, really like Boog again. That's if you want to go away from the 9,000 guys that Drummond and Vooch, you can go up for Boog. And I think that's a pretty decent guy to go up for, of course. On DraftKings tournament guys, Jokic at 77, mainly because that price is so low and everything rolls well. We're talking a 50-point guy here. That's great value at that salary. And the Blue Arrows at 56 for the same reasons I mentioned on FanDuel. For cash, Boog and Tone, 10-8 for Cousins, 10-3 for Tone. Yeah, great value on both of those guys. I love them both. While Jrue is at 6,800, that is smashable. I really like that. Gaz at 6,400 as well is also pretty smashable. So a lot of value raising its head on DraftKings for this Nuggets-Pelicans games. And some of those games have been pretty fun in recent times as well. The last game of the night, the San Antonio Spurs and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are favored by 7.5. The total is 213.5. Kawhi and Dan Green are both listed as probable. There are going to be minutes limits for Kawhi. Absolutely, 100% no doubt. Luke Marmute is out for the next 2 to 3 weeks. And what Mike D'Antoni does when someone gets injured, well, he doesn't add an extra player to the rotation. He just adds the minutes. So PJ Tucker, Nene, Ryan Anderson, all those guys are likely going to get a boost. Chrissy Paul's at 9,400. That's pretty high, but he has been pretty good. I think that's more of a tournament play. Not loving that for cash. Tone Parker, Pat Mills, not loving at all. At shooting guard, Eric Gordon, no, 5,100 is too high. Just don't like what he brings at the moment. Well, Jim Harden's at 11,300. Always want to look at Jim as a cash guy. We're talking 40-point floor here with 80-point upside. Against the Spurs, probably not 80. We've seen Kawhi limit him at times, but he still averages 52 points the last three times against the Spurs, and Kawhi's not going to be able to play the full game. So Harden's going to have some freedom, and the Chris Paul situation is obviously helps him there as well in terms of just being able to get a little bit less in terms of attention. At small forward, PJ Tucker's at 3,800. I don't really care. Trev Ariza at 51. I think he's worth a look with the injury to Marmute. Maybe a couple of extra minutes for Trev, and he should be able to get you 27, 28 points. I think that's a not bad cash play that's relatively cheap. Well, Rudy Gay, he excelled in that game that Kawhi came back. 38 points in 27 minutes. I think expecting that level of production is probably a little bit foolish, and I'm not really interested. Kawhi, no. At power forward, Ryan Anderson, tournament, cannot trust him at all, but he's a tournament guy. Well, LaMarcus Aldridge at 7,900, that's an interesting price. Interesting guy, but we just don't know how it's going to work out, so I think that that's a fade situation. At center, it's a lot of crap here. Pau Gasol at 55, not interested. LaVerne at minimum salary, no. Whereas Clint Capella is the guy we want to look at. He's been crushing it, averaging 34 over his last five at 7,400. Worth a look, but wouldn't be a guy that I'd want to lock into cash. On DraftKings, I like Powell as a tournament guy. Just if he gets hot and hits some threes, I think it could work, but I'm not loving that. Ryan Anderson, of course, is tournaments. And for cash, I think LaMarcus Aldridge at 78 could be worth a look given the way that the other power forwards shake out in this slate. Chrissy Paul at 86 and Jim Harden at 11. I like both of those guys for cash. Clint's at 6,400. I reckon you could probably count him as a cash play as well, given the way that he has played recently. And of course, again, we're not looking at Kawhi, given the minutes limit that he's likely going to be under. Let's have a look at the other sites now, round this out. On Yahoo tournaments, it's Antetokounmpo, Boog, Russ Westbrook, Miles Turner, Jonas Valanciunas, the Blue Arrow, Bam Adebayo, Bojan Bogdanovic, Trey Lyles, Ryan Anderson, Alex Abrines, and Rishawn Holmes. For cash, we've got the Duke, Wayne Ellington, we've got Andy Harrison, Etuan Moore, Chandler Parsons, Tyler Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, the Muppet John Henson, Caris LeVert, Milos, Serge Ibaka, Jim Johnson, and Joel Embiid. On Moneyball tournaments, Yanni, Embiid, Dennis Schroeder, Jonas Valanciunas, Bojan Bogdanovic, Nikola Mirotic, Sammy Decker, Ryan Anderson, Baby Neck, Andy Harrison, the Duke, Wayne Ellington. And then we look for cash and we go the Blue Arrow, the Muppet, Robin Lopez, Milos, Gaz Harris, Serge Ibaka, Thaddeus Young, Jim Johnson, CJ McCollum, Bledsoe, Paulie George, DeAndre Jordan, Kyrie, Kyle Lowry, and Tone Davis. And the last site is DraftStars. And for tournaments, we've got Boog Cousins, Nick Jokic, Johnny Wall, Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, Jonas Valanciunas, Kelly Olynyk, Ryan Anderson, Sammy Decker, DeAndre Bembry, Jawan Evans. For cash options on Draft Stars, we're going to look at Robin Lopez, Milos, Jim Johnson, Don Mitchell, Alfred Payton, Eric Bledsoe, Miles Turner, Lou Williams, Brad Beal, Kyle Lowry, Drummo, Dame Lillard, Tone Davis, and Joel Embiid. That does it. Another week done of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast. Make sure you are checking out LockedOnFantasyBasketball.com and BasketballMonster.com and following me, Josh Lloyd, on Twitter at RedRock_Bball. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Jeremy Lin.